As a quick rule of thumb, Beckett Festival sounds like a definitive don't. Grassy acres of gurning dancers, inspirational pep talks and Prosecco bars being about as far from the Irish playwright's bailiwick as it's possible to get, even if Portaloos do have a certain hint of crap about them. But as it happens, Enniskillen's annual Happy Days International Beckett Festival isn't that kind of festival anyway. Instead, it celebrates the local writer's life and work through performances and readings in ruins and churches and caves. Gareth Stack went to commune with his inner Estragon at this year's event.
I remember watching a BBC production of Happy Days in the wee hours of the 1980s, reading Godot in secondary school and finding it hilarious. Finally attending the play in college, only to find the staging dull as dishwater. I haven't seen nearly enough Beckett, but I've seen Beckett in everything. In the savage mysticism of Alejandro Jodorowsky's Holy Mountain, in the relentless self-dissecting voice of Wallace Shawn's Fever, and in the domineering monsters so beloved of the mighty Boosh. I'm in Enniskillen, where the annual Happy Days Festival has brought hundreds of performers together to celebrate the great man's work, on stage, through music and readings, in exhibitions, installations, lectures and performances. Somewhere hidden behind an enormous platinum edifice of craggy-cheeked, ice-cropped late Beckett, there's probably a Crap's Last Cronut stand. You have to admire the moxie of a festival featuring productions of Godot in French and Yiddish, but none in English. I descend into the Marble Arch Caves, where an octophonic John Cage piece has been set up on hidden speakers, winding its way through the rocky depths. Around us, stalagmites rear up like molten candles. We pass under honey-glazed ceilings, dripping deliciously onto the puckered dragon skins of chitinous crenellated monstrosities. These fright noises, snatches of music and voice, fusing with the cave's own eerie song, were composed from Finnegan's Wake. At the centre of Enniskillen is a memorial to those who fought in the Great War. It's 100 years now since that war and the rebellion it sparked. This square serves as a reminder of the wanton violence spilling down through this island's history ever since. Festival director Sean Dorn.
Being a boarder here in this faraway place from his home in Dublin, the Irish Civil War was taking place, and he would travel via Liverpool through Belfast across land to Enniskillen, and the still waters, these are still waters of the lakes rather than running waters, these islands with the pagan and pre-Christian monuments, and you see these figurines, you know, in Beckett's work, or at least I do.
Between his rubbery helix and hypertrophied mastoid process, gratified in his dialogue doubtless.
Early Saturday morning and I'm off again across the loch that Beckett would have rode to hear Donal O'Kelly read on a golf course by the water's edge.
Smeraldina Rima. And anything that comes in handy for short.
I've just done a reading of Sedendo et Quiescendo. It's about, I suppose, the great havoc that we call life. If we're under the sycamore tree looking out on Loch Earn, there's a kind of a bit of roughage around the tree, but otherwise there's the surroundings of a golf course, and the bit of roughage looks like, you know, it's a little bit reminiscent of the set of Waiting for Godot, is it not?
Beckett's school is Wes Anderson nostalgic. We're here to see the new Yiddish rep and their earthy human Godot. Shane Baker has translated the play and also plays the part of Vladimir.
The play fits Yiddish not just as a Holocaust metaphor, which is there, but there is what they call in Yiddish the spintle, the spark of the Jew that's deep inside, and part of that is a desire to stay alive, to relish life under any circumstances, to always hope, you know, to always have hope that things will get better, that things can change for the better. This is such a huge part of Godot. The loss of hope, the coming back, the insistence on it, even when it's not there, that I think there's very much a kindred spirit.
There's so much weight of history and humor in this performance. Vladimir and Estragon, a tragicomic vaudeville duo, almost romantically doomed. But this translation of the play also inevitably draws the audience's attention to Beckett's allusions to camps, to ashes, and to millions dead.
The play comes out of a very specific place and time. Now Beckett went through, and deleted a lot of that in certain ways and worked to make it less specific. But that's there, and it just so happens that the Yiddish really does bring that out.
This is a production that says, we can each let go of our bonds, and yet we continue to hold them, drawn towards our own nature irredeemably, hilariously, tragically. After the interval, the Rodney Ensemble approach the stage. We wait in pregnant silence for them to begin. A minute passes. Two. I've never seen Cage's 433 performed like this, so as to emphasize not the noise of silence, but the music forever lost. At Gavin Bryer's performance of his evergreen modern composition, Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me, we find new music forged from memory.
Although it's a kind of religious song, it's not a specifically Christian piece, although it's about Jesus. For me, it's a kind of piece, a sort of piece of humanity. The man has simple faith and optimism, but his faith is actually, it's a very uplifting thing. But this is a man living on the streets towards the end of his life. No hope, really, yet for him, life sounds good. There is a kind of Beckett sense of it, the old man living on the street, the tram, the down and out, but retaining a degree of dignity and also a degree of ironic humour. He's singing Jesus' Blood Never Failed Me Yet, but in a way, if Jesus ever failed anybody, he'd fail this poor old man, but he didn't see it that way. There's that poignancy you get with Beckett, the solitary person, but even in extremis, retaining a degree of humanity and dignity.
Perhaps what appeals to us today about Beckett is his tasteful reserve. Modern concerns framed with a restraint that feels classical, universal, and terse. Theatre emerging from silence and darkness. As our world becomes more noisy and confused, we're drawn towards Beckett's quiet, his ambiguities, his acceptance of impossible contradictions. Here in this town, connected so much to the history of art and of violence, Beckett's silence rings loudest of all.
Gareth Stack there, and the sound of this summer's Happy Days Enniskillen International Beckett Festival. Keep an eye on happy-days-enniskillen.com for news of next year's edition.